Welcome back to the FCNN. My name is Kevin, and this is the first of four parts in a four-part series about a retrospective that I will do on each of the teams that competed in the first season of the Fan Control Football League. Today we start with the Beasts, a team that owns some of the highest highs and also owns some of the lowest lows out of all teams in the entire league. Let's go over it now and start at the very beginning of the season, week one. Let's get it going. When you think back on season 1.0 of the Fan Control Football League, I think of three things. One, the obvious fan controlled aspect and how much fun everyone had throughout the season. Two, the People's Championship winning Wild Aces. 2.5, my favorite team, the Glacier Boys. And three, the FCF Beasts. Now, the Beasts are one of the most successful teams in the FCF, regardless of their playoff, success. They started the season 3-0 and dominated the regular season, besides the last game where they had a tough loss to the Zappers, and we'll get into the playoffs later. But they also held home to one of the MVP frontrunners, Quentin Flowers, who, in my opinion, and we'll get into this later, was a snubbed MVP of the entire league, as we'll look into the stats a little bit later. But let's go to where it all began, and that's in week one. It's where we saw the Beasts and the Zappers face off in the second ever game, which they played a second string defense, which is a little hard to quantify, as the FCF ran on two defenses in season 1.0 for those who may listen in the future. In season 1.0, there were two defenses. Each team got to draft one of the two, and they got their squad split in half, and they had an A team and a B team. A would play game one, B would play game two. At the beginning, people didn't really know. There wasn't a lot of transparency as to how this worked, but the second game was higher scoring. 48-44, the Beasts come out on top and had, an absolute day. If you look into the stats, the Beasts had 269 yards gained. The Zappers had 223. It was an obvious edge battle, but you see the Beasts come out on top. In the air, you see Quentin Flowers go 5-for-8, 123 yards for two touchdowns with a 45-yard as the long. And TJ Edwards, as this is foreshadowing, would be in his backcourt for a little bit, 2-for-4 for 24 yards in the air and one touchdown. Let's think about this. These numbers aren't the most fantastic, but if you look at the Logan Marchi on the other side, who would become one of the highest-rated quarterbacks in the league by whether it's the owners, the fans, the podcast, Logan Marchi was a star. He went 4-for-11 with the first interception of FCF history. He tosses it. He goes for 103 yards. Johnny Manziel goes 1-for-5 on the other side. And I think that you see, this is the start of Quentin Flowers, his story, becoming the best performing quarterback on the field that night. So he goes 5-for-8 and on the ground goes for, five touches, 26 yards, two touchdowns. TJ Edwards actually outgains him for two touchdowns and 96 yards on the ground with the same carry length. The first game was a little hard to quantify where we would see people go. Here's the thing. In a new football league, we did not know anything besides names, jerseys, and players. So we didn't really know who would be the most successful. The Beasts jump out to a pretty early lead. And we go into week two. They go 30-28. They go toe-to-toe with the Wild Aces, and they end up edging them out again on another, last-minute play. I believe this is the week that Quinn Porter or... No. Quentin Flowers actually did punch in the last touchdown of the game on a 2-yard run on the 2-yard line. So this was an interesting game. Only 198 yards of offense. This is where we see TJ Edwards back up Quentin Flowers again. I'm pretty sure he got franchise tagged around this time. Quentin Flowers goes 7-for-77 on the ground for two touchdowns. This is once again. Quentin Flowers is electrifying in the ground. He outgained most running backs, I think all running backs, and we'll get into that later. And then he goes 1-for-5 in the air for 40 yards and one touchdown. This is where I'll dive in a little off of going game by game for a second. The Beasts at the very beginning showed signs of incapability, I'd say, in their roster depth. There weren't a lot of, reliable playmakers on the ground. They never had that guy in the receiving corps, it felt like. They had Salisbury, they had Troy Evans, but it was never their Travis Toivonen, and it was never their Andrew Jamil. It was never their their Swiss Army knife in Ladarius Galloway, who's not a receiver but is a super back and was a receiver a lot of the season. The Beasts, we'll see early signs of this, struggled heavy with, having playmakers out there that weren't Quentin Flowers, but they still managed to win games. Quentin Flowers, only goes 1-for-5, but still they get the win, and he has three touchdowns of the four. They also had Shihi Giuseppe on the team at the time, who would then go on to get drafted by the Zappers in the week four draft, and then would be theirs for the rest of the season. Regardless, then we have another game to look at where they go into week three. The 2-0 Beast lead the league, and they win again in a more impressive win of an actual touchdown margin, 28-22, 6-point lead. Touchdowns are 6 points. They will take that. 197 yards to gain that time, and this time you once again see the just dominance of Quentin Flowers on the field. 10 rushes, 87 yards, 1 touchdown on the ground, and in the air, 3 for 8, 2 touchdowns. Once again, you're going to see Quentin Flowers put the entire team on his back. TJ Edwards at the time then became franchise tagged, and I think we saw the roster depth come out again. TJ Edwards, before the franchise tag, was one of the most looked at quarterbacks in the league. He was a playmaker before. He was like 5 for 6 in week two. He was really making plays. TJ Edwards down the stretch, not so much. I don't have statistics for his decline, as there isn't a lot of actual documented finite statistics like that. But I can say from a viewer's eye, the decline of TJ Edwards after his franchise tag is something that might even deserve its own episode if I choose to go back and pick apart the stats, because it is brutal. It is gruesome for the Beasts, but he still leads Quentin Flowers 3 for 8, but one interception in the air. And then Quentin Flowers, like I said, punches in one on the ground, and they win in a pretty impressive win, 28-22. This is the end of the high for the Beast. They go 3-0 to start the season, and they have one more game in the regular season. They have a chance to go undefeated and walk into the playoffs, with the gimmick being the top seed gets to pick and vote on who they want to play. This game is a preview of what will happen in the playoffs, 20-22. And if you look at this from, you know, just looking at this game, the Beast should come back and with more franchise tags, a more finite team, improved play calling as the season went on. The Glacier Boys, you know, should get absolutely hammered. We'll come back to this once it goes there. Week four is the start of a interesting time for the Beasts. They play the Zappers. They beat the Zappers early on in the season. At this time, the Beasts are 1-0 against every team in the league. They beat every team in the league. That is an accolade that no team had picked up. They lose to the Zappers, 26-32. They lose by 6 points, the same margin they had beat the Glacier Boys by the last time. And this is where you start to see problems. I'm going to go back to week three for a second, going back to Quentin Flowers, as once again, once I get past all these games, I'll talk about how he was really the heart and soul of the team, but the only heart of the team. Quentin Flowers, at the end of the week three game against the Glacier Boys, started suffering some cramping. He threw a game-icing touchdown and point after attempt while holding his chest in pain. But we started to see the over-reliance on Quentin Flowers and his running ability really start to take a toll. Quentin Flowers would only go 2 for 7 this time on 1 touchdown in the air, and would go 5 rushes for 55 yards and only 1 touchdown on the ground. This is a significant pullback from where he was. TJ Edwards would actually go 5 for 5 on 125 yards and had a more consistent game than he did the last 2 weeks. Overall, this is where, you know, you start to see a downtick, and I'll go over more finite things. But in the end of week four, about the last 10 minutes of the game, he starts holding his leg. I'm pretty sure he actually went down. It was pretty bad. He gets up, though, starts throwing again, but he was severely limited. His mobility was not there, and the FCF was super kind to mobile QBs. We'll get into why he started to, you know, sustain some injury. And that's the end of the regular season run. The regular season champs come out, and they end up voting to play against the Glacier Boys. Like I said, if you looked at the week three matchup, you'd think that this is an easy win. This should be the Beast time to shine. They don't. They get absolutely hammered. 38-20, they get their asses kicked. What happened here? To be honest, I don't know. I'm a Glacier Boys fan, and if you were to ask me what happened on, what do you call it, March 13th of 2021, that night, I would seriously not be able to tell you with a straight face what happened. They got held to 6 points in the first quarter. That's what happened. You look at Quentin Flowers' stats, and once again, he's severely limited. He rushed 4 times for 26 yards and no touchdowns on the ground. This is not the Quentin Flowers that they got all season. Quentin Flowers goes 3 for 10 for an interception in the air, and TJ Edwards actually outperforms them again. And like I said, he had a decline. He wasn't the same playmaker, but TJ Edwards sustained 3 sacks that game. I don't know. It's tough to say what really spurred this. I will go back to the lack of roster depth. They had absolutely no one to help them. Quinn Flowers could not carry this team on his own. I said this very early on in the season. Quinn Flowers needed a playmaker around him. Salisbury and Troy Evans Jr. were not that guy. You know, Salisbury had, like, not impressive stats, but he needed someone to really bring it in together. I don't know what happened. It was rough, and we'll go. Actually, I have a theory. So, going into why the Beast collapsed, the Beast fan base was quite large. Marshawn Lynch led the league, and not led the league, but he was an NFL star, and you know a lot of people like Marshawn Lynch. Who doesn't like him? And Renee Montgomery brought in a very unique audience, and she was also quite loved. I think we'll go into the fans being a big reason as to what happened. Fumbled franchise tags after week one. The fans got to vote on the franchise tags between two options that the owners would put out. The franchise tags were consistently never that good. Troy Evans Jr. was their starting one that they didn't get to pick. He wasn't that successful. Christian Salisbury was another one. Really not that good. I don't know. Quinn Flowers was actually a baller franchise tag. He would be franchise tagged week two, as the Beast would be the only team without a franchise tag quarterback in week one. TJ Edwards would be franchise tagged in week three. This is a big problem. I would say that TJ Edwards playing well in the last game in the playoffs is good, but his collapse after the regular season stretch where he wasn't a franchise tag week one and week two, it raises questions. And then the fact that they really had no offensive weapons, they never franchise tagged a running back. They retained Quinn Porter mostly through the end of the season, but it really wasn't enough. Christian Salisbury really was just not the guy. And if you look at who they had on the receiving end, like on their team locked up going into the last game and week four, Jordan Smith is a good wide receiver. I'll give it that. He was fourth in the league in yards, I believe, and only had one touchdown. So there will be a later episode that we will do on impact versus talent, because I think it's a fantastic topic. I think it's something that needs to be looked into. Does talent outweigh the impact a player can bring to a team, or does impact on a team outweigh a talented player? It's a debate, and Jordan Smith is one of those. Really talented guy, only one receiving touchdown. Is the impact enough? Besides Troy Evans Jr. and Christian Salisbury, they had Joshua Johnson, a wide receiver who had four targets and two receptions on the season, and Alfonso Carter, 6 yards on the season. Baller. Really, like I said, not much to say there. On the rushing end, they have Quinton Flowers, led the league in rushing yards and rushing quarterbacks, and rushing touchdowns. They also had Quinn Porter, who was fantastic, in my opinion. I think his 6 yards per carry, his four touchdowns, he was clutch on the short running, and TJ Edwards, who, you know, had his playmaking times and was, I believe, the third in the league in rushing yards. Only three touchdowns on the ground, but 12 yards per carry is fantastic. Quinn Flowers actually outmatched Ladarius Galloway with one less carry and more rushing yards, more rushing touchdowns, better yards per carry. But he did have a fumble loss that Ladarius Galloway did not have. This goes back to the roster depth thing. Besides Quinton Flowers and Jordan Smith, Troy Evans, debatably, who really did they have? Quinn Porter was really not that talked about. He wasn't that talked about. Calen Campbell and Ladarius Galloway largely outshone most of the running backs. There was the super back that Anthony Jones, I believe, that the Zappers franchise tagged week one, that got like like five carries or something. You know, there just wasn't a lot of help. And this goes back to, you know, Quinn Flowers started to have injury problems. And I'm going to rattle off some finite stats for a second. These are just how good, you know, I don't know how to phrase this, but how just studded Quinn Flowers was. He led the league in rushing yards. He led the league in rushing touchdowns. He led the league in yards per carry by quarterback. That's important. Besides TJ Edwards, who was in his backcourt, so he was second in the league. You go to the passing. He wasn't that fantastic, but 280 yards in the air is good for, I think, fourth in the league, and he wasn't a passing quarterback. He also had six touchdowns in the air, and 14 completions with a mediocre 39% completion rate. That is not the point. What you need to look at for Quinn Flowers is beyond the stats. It's the intangibles that he brought. The ability to extend plays, to run out of the pocket, to run, and to lower his shoulder. He was a team player in every sense of the way. The way that Quinton would just drop his shoulder and drive into a defensive back, a linebacker, to get the touchdown, to get the extra yards, it would be his downfall, but it would be the start of one of the most fantastic team players the FCF had seen. And this has become like a Quinn Flowers like fanboy show, but let's go back to the beasts. I'm going to rattle off some stats now of the beasts, and you tell me if this is a first-round exit team. Here we go. They led the league in rushing yards at 349. They led the league at 1,047 yards total gain. They had the highest point after attempt completion percentage, the highest time of possession, best third and fourth down conversion rate in the entire league, second fewest penalties in the league, second highest points per game, and second fewest yards allowed. On all sides of the ball, these guys are dominating, and they become a first-round exit to a team that was at the bottom of nearly every stat. How do you lose to a 1-3 team as 3-1, with one of the most hyped rosters in the league? And it comes down to the fact that you didn't have anyone besides Quinton Flowers. And then at the end of the season, you start to see your over-reliance on Flowers start to really hit. He becomes less mobile. He gets injured a little bit. He starts to cramp at the end of games. He's lowering his shoulder too much. He's taking bad hits. And it crumbles on you. That being said, Quinton Flowers should have been the MVP. If you elevate your team to a level of 3-1, basically on your shoulders, I feel like it warranted more than Ladarius Galloway, who he actually outmatched statistically. That is besides the point. To finish off as to why the Beast, you know, really collapsed, if you look at the fans besides their franchise tags, their play calling was abysmal. It was really just not that good. I think they had 15% run plays called and 85% in the air. But with Quinn Flowers, you know, ability to scramble at the pocket, they actually ended up running 47% of the time. The play calling on the Beast was a constant problem. You talk to any Beast fan that was like super involved. You go to the Discord and you talk to people like Coach Bain. It was rough. No one really listened. They had rough starts. They had really bad play calling where they would just, you know, nothing would really fall into line. So this is one where it kind of falls on both. Quinton Flowers' destructiveness isn't on him solely. It falls on the fans because he, you know, gets these plays that are called that are pretty horrific all the time, and he's in these bad situations. He's having to drive his shoulder. He's having to drop down. He's having to take hits. He's having to run every play, and it causes a collapse. And, you know, when your team is built off of, you know, the most electrifying quarterback in the league, and he's, you know, he's suffering because of it, there's something wrong. To close out, like I said, the Beasts were one of the most talented teams in the league in one spot, the quarterback position, and nowhere else. And when their quarterback went down, so did the team. I mean, they got blown out in the playoffs. Whether you call 38 to 20 a blowout, it is, as it was one of like three times I think a game was won by a more than one score margin, and two of those came in the playoffs. The Zappers got blown out. It was horrible. We'll get into that later. But the Beast collapse rests solely on the shoulders of the fans who put their quarterback in the worst position, Quinn Flowers taking bad hits and selective passes, but also, you know, doing everything to win. I don't think you can blame anyone but the plays that were called, the fans that called them, and just rough franchise tagging and overall a collapse at the end. I hope to see, you know, the Beast come back. We'll see a fan shuffle when the opportunity to switch teams comes up. And I wonder what will happen because the franchise and the, you know, the fans are burned. Losing, going 0-2 after going 3-0 is rough, you know, especially when there's such high expectations. I'm sure we'll see a little rotation of fans. I know that a lot of the people that were near the top of the leaderboard are exiting. They're getting ready to pick up their bags and leave. If that's a good thing or a bad thing, I guess we'll find out. But, you know, in the future, I think it just comes down to better preparation because as teams got better, you know, you look at the Glacier Boys who ended up beating them. Why did the Glacier Boys beat the Beasts? Because they had a better overall season preparation. 1-3, yes. One of the most electric offenses by the end of the season, also yes. What did the Bees do? They never innovated. Getting TJ Edwards in week three is fine, but you needed someone better. You needed a playmaker. You needed someone that you could pull onto the team. You needed better drafting, and you needed better play calling. And I think that along with the Zappers, the Beasts, and their play calling never evolved. You look at the Glacier Boys and the Wild Aces' progression throughout the season of reliance on the deep passes to actually feeding the running backs, short passes, things like Wolfpack Underground and No Chance being called. It improved. The Beasts never evolved. I think that a fan collapse, a talent, pool that decreased over time as other organizations grew and the Beasts fell down. And I think that when it's all said and done, you can really blame no one but those who drafted the players that were on that team, those who called the plays. And that's not a discount to Beast fans, because this season was tough, but it's something to learn from. And I think that going into season 2.0, the Beasts have a mission, and the mission is to reclaim their glory that they had and keep it. And that means this time by showing that a team at the top can properly draft and retain, talent, franchise tag correctly, because teams at the top do have a disadvantage. Picking at the end of the first round is rough, especially when the talent pool is as small as it was, at the higher end. It was very top heavy in the draft. They need to show that a team that wins can actually finish the season winning and not finish the season losing. So goal for the Beasts, finish the season next season, actually finish out, or if they start the season losing, finish winning. That should be the goal. And the goal should at the end be not being a first round exit from the playoffs. This has been the retrospective on the Beast season, season 1.0. I'll see you hopefully soon to do the retrospective on the Zapper season. They recruited multiple NFL prospects, NFL players, previous college superstars in Johnny Manziel, and NFL busts in Johnny Manziel. Having basically the Cleveland Browns be re-recruited in the form of Damon Sheehy Giuseppe, Johnny Manziel, Josh Gordon, the whole gang got back together. This has been the FCNN. I'm signing off. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.